Welcome to the Faith Homestead Podcast, where we talk to you about God, family, homesteading, frugal living, and all the in-between. We're your hosts, Sarah
and Matt, and we thank you for joining us today. Please take a minute to subscribe, and we hope you stay a while.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Faith Homestead Podcast. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Matt.
And we're so thankful you're here with us today. So today we're going to be talking about basically how to kind of live differently in a world where spending is the norm, where spending is normalized. You don't have to conform to America's standard of living to have a healthy, content, and, you know, satisfying life. And so we're going to talk to you about that today. And what does that look like? That looks like cutting back on the biggest thing that Americans spend their money on, one of the biggest, and that is food and consumables. We, as Americans, spend so much money on food and consumables that if you were to calculate, you know, what is going out every month from what you earn, it would be probably at least 50% of your income. So we're going to talk about that. If you guys could please like, share, and subscribe on YouTube or wherever you're listening to us on whatever podcast platform, we would greatly appreciate it. So I want to get started today, and I want to talk about just that mindset of America. I was having a conversation today with my mother-in-law, and, you know, we were just talking about just the mentality of America and basically, you know, how there's just this certain level of what people expect and how we're supposed to live. You know, it's okay to go and, you know, finance a house that is more than what you can afford every month. And it's okay to rack up credit card debt. That's just the norm. And that is just what people think is acceptable. And we're here to tell you today that we live completely different than that. And at times, you know, it is a little bit hard because a lot of people don't understand our way of living. But we know that we are reaping what we're sowing. And right now, we are really trying to just sow generational change.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that there's a large majority of people that feel that, you know, or may have never even seen what a grocery store looks like that doesn't have food in it. Mm-hmm. The pandemic was the first time where a lot of people went to a grocery store and it wasn't fully stocked. Every shelf had something on it. And it was a wake-up call for us, especially knowing, you know, that pandemic period may not be the last time in our lifetime we see grocery stores without things on the shelves, right? Back in the 70s, there was the, you know, fuel shortages and the rationing of fuel and the lines and waiting for gas, right? Which is something today, if that happened, people would lose their minds because we don't know what that
we wouldn't even, like, know how to handle it.
We wouldn't know what that looks like. But that being said, again, you know, in this idea or this mindset of self-reliance, preparedness on, you know, not needing everybody else to have that handout or be willing to put that handout, being able to take care of ourselves along the way.
Yeah. And I think something that I've been struggling with, and I'm sure a lot of women who are listening today can relate, is kind of like that FOMO feeling, you know, that fear of missing out. There are times where I feel bad that our children aren't doing like multiple sports and multiple extracurricular activities. You know, we right now, our daughter is 3 and we just got her enrolled in a 1-day-a-week 45-minute dance class. And we had to really budget that. We had to decide if it was worth it for us to spend the $52 a month on doing that, because that takes away from our goal of basically paying off all of our debt. And that is our number one focus. And we don't want you to think that, you know, our kids are never going to do anything. We're never going to go on any vacations or do anything like that. But for us right now, at this moment of life, all of our debt being paid off it's our number one goal. And so I think as women, we have to understand that, like, the Lord has planted us where we are. And we have to have contentment where we are, and we're supposed to grow where we're planted. And we may look around and, you know, social media is probably the worst place for this, because we see everybody's highlight reel. We see everybody, you know, doing all the things that they're spending money on, but we don't know how far into debt these people are. You know, the Smiths down the road may be may have their kids in all the sports and they may be doing karate and dance classes, but they may be charging it on a credit card every month and just getting deeper and deeper into that hole of debt. And so while it is sad and it is upsetting sometimes to us women because we want our kids to have all those experiences, mm-hmm. we have to understand that you, again, like I keep saying this, but you know, you reap what you sow. And right now we are reaping into our family a change. Because I come from a family that we never had much growing up, and there was no savings. There was nothing like that. And my parents, they're in their 70s and they still work. They're still trying to just make ends meet. And we really don't want that to be our case. And we don't want to be a burden on our children when they're older. So we're doing these things now, you know, for a later reward.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So something I want to bring up, and I think a lot of us are really trying right now to change these habits. And a lot of us are making these changes out of necessity because prices are going up, guys. And like I said, and like I feel like we say this every week, they're not coming down anytime soon. And so when you walk into the grocery store weekly or biweekly to do your grocery shopping for you and your family, are you tending to gravitate towards things that are single serve, convenience items? Are you grabbing things to just shove into lunch boxes for your kids to go to school? Because it's simple. And we understand time is very precious and it does take time to, you know, cut apples, but are you buying apples that are already pre-cut? Are you buying yogurts that are already in pouches? Are you, buying bags of a big box of chips that, you know, come in like an 18 pack and, you know, you're putting bags of chips in your kid's lunchbox? Have you looked at the weight of that? You know, 18 bags of little chips, like let's say Doritos, for example, may only add up to like 12 ounces in that whole entire box, those 12 bags, an ounce each. But you can buy a regular bag and a box of, baggies for a lot less. So the thing we want you to walk away with today is to learn to buy things not in bulk, because we don't agree with bulk buying, because that's actually not cheaper either. But you need to stop buying in single serve. Things like applesauce pouches, yogurt tubes, yogurt smoothies, small bags of chips, apple slices, pre-cut fruits and vegetables. It is so easy to get sidetracked when you're in the grocery store and you see the green beans that are in the bag and they're just pre-washed and they're ready to go. Even the salads. Who doesn't buy a bag of salad mix every week? That usually gets tossed, right? I mean, let's just admit it, guys. We're all going to admit it right now. The spring mix in your fridge, you haven't eaten it, have you? Just go throw it out because you haven't eaten it. I know that's something that I really struggle with is you know, throwing away.
Feeding it to our chickens.
Yeah, I do feed it to our chickens. So, I mean, it's not fully wasted, but it is. So that $5 just goes out into the, you know, chicken's mouth every week. But we really need to move away from pre-portioned and pre-packaged food. And really just take the few minutes to just do it ourselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is just something that I wanted to bring up today. I think it's, you know, Americans are spending so much money on prepackaged foods. You wouldn't believe the hundreds of dollars that you would save a month if you just stopped doing that one thing. So that's just something to think about. Another thing is portion control. We are eating too much. Do you want to talk about, you know, portion control a little bit in our kids and what we've learned?
Absolutely. And I think that it's something that, you know, when we were young, the food pyramid was like the gold standard, right? And
yeah.
Then, you know, but you're not really shown who gives you that. You just, as a kid, think like, this is okay, food pyramid. And this is what we need to mm-hmm. do. And, you know, we look at the food pyramid now and we go, oh my goodness, like we missed the mark, right?
Yeah.
And
we're all missing it.
You know, that concept of, you know, eating more of certain things. And, you know, I think for me personally, you know, I kind of changed my mindset around food, starting more seriously training for a triathlon. And we went to a triathlon camp and the coach who was giving us the nutritional course for the camp had said, you know, how many people are training to eat rather than eating to train, right? And changing that mindset of looking at food as fuel, right? And and there's nothing wrong with having a meal that tastes good, but really thinking about what are we doing as we're feeding ourselves? Okay. So many of us are focused purely on, you know, the satisfaction yeah. from the food. Yeah. You know, you get that quick hit of, you know, endorphin release or whatever mm-hmm. it is. And it's like, you know, the dopamine kicks and it's like, yep, you know, got what I wanted, but it quickly wears off mm-hmm. and you want it again and again and again. And so breaking down, you know, that again, that mindset of preparedness, thinking, okay, you know, what do we have coming up? What are we going to be doing? And then how are we actually applying it, right? The idea of carb loading in the, you know, the sports world, stuff like that. We carb loaded all the time, you know, pre-matches, stuff like that. And it really, there's no science that shows that it's actually good for you to do it. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that actually proves the, you know, the or validates that concept, right? So when we sit down and we look at it, right, we start to look at our, you know, in our proteins and then looking again at more of that self-reliance and how much of that stuff can we actually put out there from our own garden, stuff like that. You know, we're very intentional in how we grow our gardens as well.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing for Americans is that we feel, I don't know where we've turned off, because I feel like growing up, like when I grew up, my mom made food and we ate what she made. There was no argument. If we chose not to eat what my mother put out, we didn't eat. And I feel like we as America have changed our view of what we allow our children, like our decision making for our toddlers and our young kids. And we're just throwing away so food. I mean, I've seen parents that are making four different meals because they have three kids or two kids that, you know, one wants a grilled cheese and one wants butter noodles. And then mom is making dinner for, you know, her and her husband. So I think what we first need to do is we need to get control back in our household with our kids. And I'm going to be completely transparent. We've been working on this week. My biggest thing is I kind of have been pacifying my kids with snacks throughout the day because, you know, I feel like kids are always hungry. You know, they're playing or they're outside playing. They come in or they're just bored and they want a snack. And so I have found myself giving my kids snacks. And then by mealtime, you know, lunch and dinner, they're not hungry because they've mm-hmm. had three snacks over the course of 4 hours, you know, so something that I've worked on over the last week is I've cut snacks completely. The only time my children get snacks is my one son doesn't take nap anymore. And so I'll let him have like an apple or something small during that, you know, 2-3 hour nap period because he's, you know, having his independent time and it's an appropriate time for a snack. But by doing this, my children this week, I would say out of the 4 days that, you know, we started a couple days ago, 3 out of the 4 nights, we had no issue. And before then we were having tantrums at the dinner table because I, you know, work really hard to put dinner on the table and Matt works really hard to provide that food with his job. And so I'm getting frustrated and I'm trying to explain to my kids, you know, we need to have grateful hearts. Daddy worked really hard to put this food on the table. Mommy worked really hard to prepare this meal. And you guys are acting terrible. You're throwing tantrums. You don't want to eat. And I had to take an evaluation upon myself and be like, you know what, Sarah, we need to cut the snacks. Maybe it's not really their fault. They're actually just not hungry because you've given them snacks all day. And so by removing those snacks, we have noticed, I mean, it's night and day difference. When they sit down, they're not acting out. They're not goofing off. They're just eating their food. And we have three little ones. They're 5, 3, and 1.5. And so it's just chaos anyway, but the chaos reduction has been,
I mean, we had several times where we had to give them more food, right?
Yeah. We made pasta the other night and they had like seconds and thirds.
All three of them had a second.
Yeah.
Second plate of it, which
and yeah, it's would great.
Have never happened, right?
No, it would have never happened. And that's something I want to talk to you too about. We as Americans, I feel like our plates are getting bigger. Our portions are getting bigger. So our plates have gotten bigger over the course of 50 years. What we should do is we should be filling smaller plates. Most people, when they get a dinner, a China set for their just their basic kitchen dishes, they get a dinner plate and like a little salad or dessert plate. Serve your children 10 and under on salad plates because it's just better. You don't need to fill up an entire adult size 12 or 10 inch plate with food. Most kids are only going to have a few tablespoons of each vegetable that you're putting out, you know, and if you look at it's actually really funny. The adult portion size of protein is really like the size of your palm. And so imagine what a five-year-old's supposed to eat. If the adult portion size is the size of your palm, they should only be having, you know, a silver dollar or maybe a little bigger portion size of meat at first. And if they want more, that's okay. You may give it to them. But if you're scraping your plate, if you're scraping your family's plates into the trash at the end of the night, you're overfeeding your family. And that you're just throwing dollars away. And I know it's hard to think about it like that, but you are, every time you open your pop, you step on that trash can lid, or you lift that trash can lid up and you're scraping food in the trash, you are literally wasting your job's income and your husband's job's income. So really think about that. And here's another thing too. If you're a stay-at-home mom and you are serving your children lunch in your kitchen, you might have to just eat their leftovers or bag it up for the next day if you're giving them too much. So it's just, you know, something to think about.
Absolutely.
So we really just want you to change your mindset. What is your time actually worth? Mm-hmm. Is your time worth it? Is your money worth the time? You know, is it worth it to spend a few hours a month shopping sales because it's saving you guys, it's saving you money on your groceries? Mm-hmm. And we really just think that if you start with this mindset change, you will really gain a lot, especially for money, being able to put it away towards that. You just have to change your mentality. It is okay to buy a 50 count, you know, sandwich bags and bag your children's chips and their carrots and, you know, stuff like that for lunch. They don't have to have everything in plastic and individual portion sizes. You're paying for the convenience, but it just takes a little bit of time and you can just do it yourself. Our son is five now. And so he's starting to get chores and he's able to get and bag his own snacks occasionally. So just start giving your kids some of these duties to help you out too. I also wanted to mention, just because I got a bunch of questions on my TikTok this week about the egg shortage. A lot of people, quite a few people were really interested in my water glassing video. And so I'm going to do an actual video on like the process of water glassing. But a lot of people were talking about, well, hey, like, thanks so much for the tip, but I haven't ever done this. I'm going to implement this year. But in the meantime, eggs are really expensive. My chickens aren't laying, or we don't have any chickens, and the price of eggs is like $9 a dozen. What can I do for substitutes? And so I compiled a list of egg substitutions that you can implement during this shortage and during this inflation time. So the best thing for if you're baking like baked goods is going to be like the egg replacer for that would be carbonated water. I know that sounds crazy, but it is a great leavening agent. And so for a moist and fluffy cake, or any baked good for that matter, you're going to do 1/4 cup of carbonated water. And then that is going to equal one egg. So other good substitutes for eggs, especially in baking, are going to be as followed. So applesauce, 1/4 cup of applesauce is one egg. Okay. Mashed banana, 1/4 cup again. When in doubt, just go with 1/4 cup because that's pretty much like for everything here. Mashed banana is 1/4 cup. That equals one egg. Flax or chia seed. This is actually a really good substitution when you need to kind of remove that taste. There is a little bit of a nutty flavor to it, but the other thing is kind of have more of like a taste to it. So flax or chia seed would be 1 tablespoon to 3 parts water. Let that soak it up for a little bit, and then you can use that, and that equals one egg. Also, if you want literally zero taste, but you're willing to spend a little bit more money, it's going to be cheaper than eggs because eggs are crazy right now. But you can buy on Amazon and probably through Walmart this thing called Egg Replacer. And it's, you know, it has some ingredients in it, and that is basically like a shelf-stable replacer for eggs. And then the cheapest method would be vinegar and baking soda together. 1 tablespoon of baking soda with 1 tablespoon of vinegar equals one egg. So that's pretty much all we have today, guys. Did you have anything you wanted to add?
I just saw a funny meme today of lady by her chicken coop, and it said that, you know, the crazy chicken lady is now your favorite neighbor.
Yeah. I'm seeing so many memes. It's really It's really funny. I'm really into the ones that, I mean, I know that it's kind of silly, but the ones that are like the mobsters and the mafia ones where they're like, you know, they're sitting at the table and they're like, you know, putting two eggs in a bag. Like, I know it's inappropriate, but it's like a drug deal, but it's like, I just think it's really funny. So, and it's like, it just really cracks me up. It's like a couple years ago, I remember when I first got chickens and we didn't know at the time that we could preserve. I didn't really know much about preservation, but I was like trying to sell my eggs and people were like, oh, like you want $4 a dozen, man. That's just really expensive. And now it's like, people are like, heck yeah, I'll pay you $6 a dozen for, you know, local eggs. It's just really funny how times have changed. So we hope that you guys have a great rest of your weekend. Have a great week and be blessed. We'll talk to you later.